You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Our frequency celebrates diversity.
Coming up on the Children's Hour, we have a special episode that honors Indigenous Peoples Day with guest author Laurel Goodluck. She shares stories from her books that highlight Indigenous perspectives. Laurel will read from her latest, Too Much, My Great Big Native Family. And we'll hear a clip from She Persisted, Deb Holland, which is a biography of the United States Interior Secretary. The kids' crew will engage with Laurel on topics like family, resilience, and cultural pride. And you'll hear some great Indigenous music from around the world on this episode. Celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day with the Children's Hour. Coming right up, stick with us. The Children's Hour is an independent production of the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based nonprofit. We're distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American radio network.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
What is an author's favorite insect?
I don't know. What?
A bookworm.
Oh!
It's time for the Children's Hour. Kids Public Radio.
She wakes up to the morning light. Wind blows gently o'er the plain. She hears the sound of birds in flight. The winding river calls her name. She walks in beauty and in peace. Through misty mountains, majesty. She hears the whisper of the tree.
She talks to the animals and she
She Talks to Animals is Shelley Morningsong right here on the Children's Hour. Shelley Morningsong is an award-winning Cheyenne musician performing there with her partner Fabian Fontenelle, who's Zuni in Omaha. I'm Katie Stone, and this is the Children's Hour, and we're here at the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and online with a whole lot of great kids. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
And who's with us today?
Hi, it's Lucas D.
Hi, it's Joe.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hi, it's Amaya.
Hi, it's Nathaniel.
Hello, it's Jude.
Thank you all so much for being here at the Outpost on Zoom and also out there in listener land. Today on the show, we have a very special guest. It's author Laurel Goodluck. She's a writer of children's books that reflect the perspectives of Indigenous kids. Listeners of the Children's Hour might have heard her on our Banned Books episode, which you can find anywhere you listen to podcasts or at childrenshour.org. Laurel will be reading to us from some of her books, including one about a Native leader in the United States who's inspiring kids to dream big and never let obstacles stop your dreams. Today's episode is full of Indigenous music and conversation. It's in honor of Indigenous Peoples Day. You can learn more about that American holiday at childrenshour.org. You can follow along on our playlists and see photos and links for this episode at childrenshour.org. Look for the episode Story Keepers. This is the Bruces and Friends, right here on the Children's Hour.
Story of the sky is the story of the earth, singing the song and we're singing along. Story of the sky is the story of the earth, singing the song and we're singing along. Story of the sky is the story of the earth, singing the song and we're singing along. Story of the sky is the story of the earth, singing the song and we're singing along. Story of the sky is the story of the earth, singing the song and we're singing along. Story of the sky is the story of the earth, singing the song and we're singing along. Story of the sky is the story of the earth, singing the song and we're singing along. Story of the sky is the story of the earth, singing the song and we're singing along. Story of the sky is the story of the earth, singing the song and we're singing along. Story of the sky is the story of the earth, singing the song and we're singing along together.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. With us at the Outpost Performance Space is an author of many books for children and others. Her name is Laurel Goodluck. And welcome to the Children's Hour, Laurel.
Hey, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
We're really excited to have you with us. Your latest book is a lot of fun, and we have a review of it today on the show. It's called Too Much, My Great Big Native Family. You must be Indigenous to be writing this book about my great big Native family.
Yes, I'm intertribal. That means I have a few different tribes in my family. I'm Mandan Hidatsa from the Mandan Hidatsa Rikara Nation in North Dakota, and I'm Tsimshian. And that means I'm from Alaska, Ketchikan. I grew up in a great big Native family, and I'm still in a great big Native family. My sons grew up with all their aunties and uncles and their cousins and their grandparents, always hanging around, always doing things together, and so did I.
Does anyone identify with having a great big family? I have a great big family. Anybody else? Do you feel like you have a great big family? Tell me about it.
Yeah, I do. I have a big family.
If you had to estimate and you put all the people of your family in one room, like this room at the Outpost, how many people would be here?
35.
That is huge. Do you have a great big family, Amadeus, too?
I think I do, but I don't know all of them, because some of them are in the Caribbean, and some of them are on the east coast of the U.S., and some of them are off in Greece and very rural areas. So I have a great big family, but in a lot of different places. So, yeah.
Is that how your family is, too, Laurel?
Yes. Like I mentioned before, we're intertribal, and so that means not only do I belong to the tribes that I mentioned, but my cousins are from the East Coast also, Tuscarora from the Southwest, the Pueblos from California because of just moving there, and up north in Montana, Alaska. So we're all over the place. And when I was a kid, because our family was so big, road trips were very big to visit everyone. And my whole world opened up because of that.
Going from one family member's house to another. Mm-hmm. I love it.
What inspired you to become an author?
Well, to become an author, I was inspired first by hanging out with my family when I was a kid. And when the aunties and uncles would get around the kitchen table or the campfire, wherever we were, they would always tell stories. They would tell stories about our ancestors who survived a lot of different policies from the U.S. and we became very resilient because of that. And those lessons I learned from my family really helped me think about how I wanted to write books. I wanted kids to feel that same resiliency, be able to see themselves in books and be able to say, I can be a hero too, and I can make decisions and think critically and such. So that was one way that I was inspired. But another way is my sons are storytellers and they're adults now. One is an actor and one is a journalist. And so they taught me that, this new modern way to tell stories. So I kind of jumped in the fun because of them.
You know this book, Forever Cousins, that you wrote, which is about cousins who don't get to live in the same town, but they're able to stay super close. I love that part about being family with people. When you talk about it's too much in your great big Native family, what do you mean, too much?
Well, when I first started writing this book, I took a long sheet of paper. My husband's a physician, so I got a big, giant piece of exam paper because I worked in his office. And I started sketching out what it felt like to be in a big family. Sometimes it felt like a big whirlwind. Sometimes it felt like big waves were crashing. Sometimes it felt like being in a race car, zooming around all the time. So I thought, how could I put that into a book? And that's what inspired it. Families can feel too much all the time, but at the end, and I don't want to spoil alert, but Russell does learn that having his family really felt good, and there he learned that there can never be too much love.
This is Kybia Tsebitse from the Children's Hour with a book review on Too Much, My Great Big Native Family by Laurel Goodluck, illustrated by Bridget George, and published by Simon & Schuster Books for Young Readers. This book is about a Native American boy whose name is Russell, who is trying to tell his family something exciting that he is preparing for. Russell felt he was being ignored by his family, but much of the story was told at home or places he would go with his family. The book, it was amazing because he makes his stories compelling and engaging. The illustrations were colorful and creative. Because of that, I would give the book 5 chilies. I would also tell all my friends about the book to find out about what Russell was preparing for.
The book is Too Much, My Great Big Native Family. It's by Laurel Goodluck. She's our guest. It's published by Simon & Schuster Press. That book review was written by Lucas D. and voiced by Kybia from our kids' crew. Many thanks to their parents for help with production. You're listening to the Children's Hour. Hear Laurel Goodluck read Too Much, My Great Big Native Family.
light a star shining, I light up when I get a part in the play. Mom says, hurrah, Russell. Then let's go. It's time for a weekly gathering. I need to rehearse my lines, but it's family time. We roam like a bison in a big herd ready to graze. We share everything family style, and there are never any seconds. I announce, I got a part in the play, but no one hears me. Sheesh, is this too much sharing? Stage right, where's the stage left? I say to myself. My little sister walks in without knocking. Russell, we gotta go, she says. There's 2 weeks before the play, and I need to walk through my blocking, but it's family time. We tumble like the sea, swirling and crashing. I try to float to the top, but still can't see the exhibits. Grandma, in 2 weeks, hey, Grandma. I try to tell her about the play, but we're too far apart. Geez, is this too much togetherness? With my lines almost memorized, I try on my costume and I wink at myself. All of a sudden, I hear the car's sharp honks. Everyone must be waiting. I need to change, but it's family time. We speed like racing cars around a track, try to catch the previews. At the movie theater, I can't get in the inside lane to sit with my cousins and end up alone with Grandpa, who snores like a revved up engine. Yep, this is definitely too much.
That was the Cheeky Tunes out of Australia with the Aboriginal tune Naya Naba from their release called Superheroes. That's a song all about families and how we're so much stronger with our family around us. Before that, you heard Laurel Goodluck, our guest, reading from her book Too Much, My Great Big Native Family. And many thanks to Lucas D. and Kaibia for that great book review. We've got a lot more coming up with our guest, Laurel Goodluck, including excerpts from her other books and more conversation with our kids group. You're listening to the Children's Hour. This episode is called The Story Keepers. You can find our whole playlist and so much more at childrenshour.org. In the background, you're hearing Mary Youngblood from Beneath the Raven Moon with Laugh With Me. Thank you.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated. We're a New Mexico-based nonprofit organization supported by listeners just like you. Learn more about us at childrenshour.org. New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. International Archaeology Day is October 19th, 2024. Archaeology at your fingertips. More at nmarchaeology.org. Electric Playhouse supports the Children's Hour. Now open in Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the Forum Shops at Caesar's Palace. Learn more at electricplayhouse.com. Welcome back to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. Today on the show, we're talking with Laurel Goodluck. She's the author of many books for kids. She is Indigenous and she tells stories from an Indigenous Native American point of view. Let's go over to Thaniel.
How did you become an author? Did you have to go to something like an author school or did you just start writing?
I kind of wish I had an author school, but I kind of had to figure it out by myself. And the way that I did was I found a like organization that had the same goals that I did, and that was called We Need Diverse Books. And I really wanted to write books where Indigenous kids and all kids could really see themselves in books and reflect our lived experiences. What they did was they offered some intensives for Native writers. They also offered a mentorship program that really changed things for me. I was paired with Tracy Sorrell, who is a Cherokee author. And that year of learning craft with her, that year of finding my community, just made a big difference. And some more courses online, too. It's a lot of work, and it did take a few years.
You mentioned that you were part of a couple tribes. Do the tribes speak any other languages?
Oh, that's a great question, because a lot of revitalization is going on now with our tribes who have lost their languages. In some tribes, in my family, my parents didn't learn their language because their parents didn't want to pass it on because they were just surviving the best that they could during a lot of chaos and change. And so having them just learn English, they thought would be the best. But now tribes are deciding that, wait, we can have both. And that's what's so beautiful about revitalization of languages.
What's your favorite part of writing books?
I think my favorite part is probably coming up with the ideas, because the idea stage is, to me, is when anything's possible. And to be able to come up with ideas, I have to do a lot of different things to help that. And one of them is writing poetry in the morning early, and all the things in my subconscious come out. And another thing I need to do during the day is ride my bike. I have to ride my bike to feel free and be in nature, and ideas come to me in that way. My body is working and my mind is working together. So idea stage is a lot of fun and it's creative.
Did you have any obstacles along the way in becoming an author?
I think the obstacles is when you start to write and it's not coming together and you think that this can't be a story, this can't be anything, and then you might stop. But what I learned from a mentor is that that's where a lot of people will stop. And then you have to just take a breath. You have to think about it. You have to just persist and go on, because that's when a lot of people just quit. And so mentors help with that. Mentors who have done the work before can be encouraging. And I had many mentors on the way. And books can do that too. When I read the books, I call them mentor texts because I study them for structure, I study them for words, and they inspire me to want to be a better writer and to keep going.
So one thing I'm wondering is that since anyone can become an author, anyone can write, there's so many stories out there that already exist. What are some things that new authors can do to help come up with original ideas that haven't been done before?
When I go into school visits, I like to tell kids exactly what you're saying. Anybody can write. Anybody can tell a story. They're in you. And there's different ways to do it. Writing is one way. There's media. There's filmmaking. There's acting. There's journalism. So many ways to tell a story. One thing that's unfortunate is that Indigenous people have been kept out of publishing for about the last 20 years. So that's why we haven't seen so many books. And because we are kept out of publishing, our stories feel very fresh and very new and very unique. they are to other people, but to us, they've always been there. This way of life and this way of doing things, bringing in our language, our big families, our clan system, all the things that make us up as a whole person haven't been explored. And that's what's wonderful about being able to write now as an Indigenous person. Unfortunate before, because it would have benefited so many people to have our books in publishing before.
That's Laurel Goodluck. She's a children's author and much more. You can find links and more information at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Story Keepers.
I've been away for so long that I wonder if the sun never drops to life its power. I've been away for so long that I wonder. Même il sait que les beaux de tes beaux fils y dorment dans l'air. Et tu nous mineurs, nous comptons tes dires. Par l'honneur beau ton nom, Diabo, Dodi. Nous aider à Dieu, si on dit, nous beau, ouais. Baby, nos états, baby, nos états, baby, de nous beau, ouais.
That's Anjali Kiju. She's from Benin, and she's Yoruba. Today on the Children's Hour, we're focusing on Indigenous storytellers, and our guest is author Laurel Goodluck. In some parts of the world, including in the United States, and in some towns, sometimes people decide a book isn't allowed. They call that banning a book. And Laurel Goodluck's book, Forever Cousins, was among the books that got banned. And another one of her books was also banned by another school district, the one that is the biography of Deb Holland, who currently is serving in the United States here in 2024 as the Secretary of the Department of the Interior. It's a cabinet-level federal position. It's a very powerful position in the United States. And she is Indigenous. And Ms. Goodluck wrote a book about her called She Persisted, Deb Holland. Why on earth would these be banned?
Yes, it's really unfortunate. Forever Cousins was banned in Michigan because it was delivered to a teacher who had applied for this grant through We Need Diverse Books. And she applied to the grant because she wanted to bring diversity through literature into her community, into her school. So the school board stopped the book from going on her shelves. And they didn't even probably read the books that were in the box sent to her that she hand-selected and picked out. Coming to find out more information about this school board, they were backed by what is called conservative hacks who really aren't on school boards for the right reasons, for the children, for the good of the community. And so that's why they stopped the book, to not have diversity in their community. And then She Persisted, Deb Holland, was part of Scholastic Books. Has anybody ever been to a Scholastic Book Fair?
Yeah.
Yes, there's a lot of book fairs.
I have.
So what was offered to the librarians who were ordering books for Scholastic Book Fair to come to their school to sell to the students was a button called the Diverse Button. They could push the button and no diverse books would be in their box sent to them. So that's what is called censoring your books, segregating books out. And that shouldn't be happening in the schools. Luckily, both of these cases, both of these with Scholastic and with the Michigan Board, they've been turned around. The teachers have gotten the books, and Scholastic is no longer censoring or segregating books. But this really shouldn't be happening in this day. This really shouldn't be something we have to worry about. We should be able to go to the shelf as students, as adults, and pick out anything that we want that interests us. We want our world to open up, and they don't. So what I did was I found out that my friend was running for APS school board.
That's our Albuquerque Public Schools. We live in New Mexico here at the Children's Hour, and our public school board is elected by people. So you get to vote for people to be on our school board.
Exactly. And so Rinalda Tome was running for school board, and she was running against the Mothers of Liberty group. And so what I did was do some volunteer work, helped her fundraise, and now Rinalda is on the school board as the first Native person ever in Albuquerque school board history to be on the board. So our voice is there. So that's what I tell people to do. Look at your own small governments, look at your own school boards and who's on them and who's on there for the right reason. And you can put your energy when things like book banning happen into looking at your own community and how can you volunteer.
Let's hear an excerpt from a banned book written by our guest.
Hi, I'm Laurel Goodluck. I'm the author of She Persisted, Deb Holland. And today I'd like to read an excerpt from chapter 2 called Home is Where the Heart Is. The Pueblo of Laguna is about 70 miles west of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Albuquerque is the largest city in New Mexico, while Laguna Pueblo is a smaller native community. Pueblo means village in Spanish. Laguna Pueblo is one of 19 pueblos in New Mexico, each with its own separate native government, modern homes, and people working both in the community and in nearby cities. Like all native tribal nations, the Pueblo of Laguna is a sovereign nation. Sovereign means that the tribes run their own governments and make their own decisions about their communities. Each Native nation is considered a nation within a nation, that is, a Native nation within the larger United States nation. Native people who belong to a sovereign tribal nations are citizens of both. In Deb's case, she is a citizen of the Pueblo of Laguna and a citizen of the United States. The United States is very new compared to Native tribes and nations. Deb's ancestors lived in the Pueblo of Laguna for thousands of years before the United States became a country. Deb likes to say she is the 35th generation New Mexican. Deb's mother made sure her children were connected to their Laguna Pueblo homeland and grandparents growing up. Homelands have a special place in people's hearts and a sacred pull that never lets go. Deb's grandparents were farmers from the small village of Masita in Laguna Pueblo, where there is an agricultural tradition of harvesting vegetables from the land and living near the rivers that offer water. The Laguna name for the village is Se Che E He, which means red rocks pointing out horizontally. There was no electricity in Deb's grandparents' one-room family home, so they relied on clay brick oven for the heat and cooking. Deb's grandmother did not like the kids in the kitchen getting in the way while she cooked, so when Deb was very young, she would watch through a kitchen window. Later, she would copy what she saw her grandmother do, baking bread, cooking beans and chilies, and preparing fresh vegetables, including the ones her grandfather grew. Today, Deb says she is proud that her grandparents' growing and cooking methods have been passed down to her, and now she passes them down to her child. Back then, there was no running water in the family home. Deb would go to the middle of the village, fill two buckets to the brim, and carry them the length of four football fields back home. The family used the water for drinking and bathing. They would fill a tub with water. Deb would take a turn bathing after her six cousins had already used the same water. Deb learned that every drop of water she carried was precious and could not be wasted. Deb and her grandpa spent their summers in the garden. She would help him pick worms off corn and pull weeds in his cornfields. While Deb's grandpa watered the peach orchard, Deb would sit in the shade of a peach tree and listen to the whistle of passing trains. A breeze would cool her off while she ate sweet fruit. Deb's grandfather also taught her the tradition of respecting the life of all animals. When her grandfather bought home a deer he had hunted, he would take the deer's body to the garage and slept overnight with it until the deer's spirit left. As Deb grew older, her grandmother and mother shared terrible stories about Indian boarding schools. In 1881, Deb's great-grandfather was taken to Carlisle Indian Industrial School in Pennsylvania, almost 2,000 miles away from New Mexico. The school motto was "Kill the Indian and save the man." It was one of many government and church-run schools that existed back then, with the goal of trying to make the children who were forced to attend them feel ashamed of being Native. Those schools weren't interested in giving children a real education. They were trying to erase Native cultures by re-educating their children in harmful ways by erasing their Native languages, stories, and cultures. The adults running the school sometimes physically hurt the children too. Tragically, many children who attended those schools were treated so poorly that they died. These Indian boarding schools stayed up and running for many years, long past when Deb's great-grandfather was a child. The government also took Deb's grandparents to one of these type of schools in Santa Fe, New Mexico. This was where they first met. Her grandpa was from a nearby pueblo named Tamas. Her grandmother was one of many children from Laguna Pueblo who were gathered up by Catholic priests and put on a train. She was lonely and missed her family. Deb's grandma mostly spent her days cleaning and cooking, not learning. She ironed clothes and peeled potatoes. Her father visited her just two times during these 5 years, as the school was so far away by horse and wagon. By the 1960s, most of the Indian boarding schools had stopped operating, and the Native cultures had survived. But Deb heard the stories, and she learned how unfairly Native people had been treated. These injustices taught Deb that her family and community had a resiliency, or a toughness rooted in their Native culture, that gave them strength not to give up who they were. Deb would later say that she was a product of these Indian boarding schools, and they would inspire her to be fierce later in her life when she began to serve her country.
That's Laurel Goodluck reading from her book, She Persisted, Deb Holland. You can find links and pictures and much more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Story Keepers. In the background, it's the Laguna Turkey Dance.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Users at tokenibis.org donate to the Children's Hour every week without spending a dime. You can learn more at tokenibis.org. Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico is a proud supporter of the Children's Hour. Find out more at outpostspace.org. Support for the Children's Hour is provided by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support provided by the City of Albuquerque and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. The Children's Hour is supported in part by New Mexico Arts, a division of the Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Keep up with the Children's Hour and subscribe to our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org. That's Pura Fe, and she's from the Tuscarora Indian Nation. That's her song, Great Grandpa's Banjo. You're listening to the Children's Hour. Today, we're focusing on Indigenous story keepers, like our guest, Laurel Goodluck. Let's go over to Amadeus.
I wanted to ask, why did you want to write a book about Deb Holland, and why is she so important?
When Deb was going to run, I was invited to a party about some Native woman that was going to run for office. So I went to the party not knowing who she was. And then when I met her and saw who was going to be running for our representative here in New Mexico, I was just astonished to see a Native woman and really wanted to do things for the good of community. And so when Deb got elected, not only to the position of representative, but then went on to be Madam Secretary of the Interior, I was just so happy to see that representation. And so I wanted to really do a picture book about her because that's what I do mostly. But then my mentor, Tracy Sorrell, had been working with Penguin Random House and they were asking her, what other book shall we be writing? And so Tracy knew that I wanted to explore Deb Holland and she asked me to go ahead and introduce me to Penguin Random House, and then I wrote the book. And I'm so glad that I did because it was so great to spend almost a year researching and finding out all that she did, not only as an adult, but what really helped her as a young child was her culture in Laguna, her grandparents' stories, what they went through in boarding schools, and how she sought out people and organizations to help her get where she wanted to go.
What do you want kids to learn from your books?
Well, when you open a book, it's really up to you what you want to take away from the book. And so I want kids to add their own layer of what they want to take away from the book. But of course, I do have themes in all my books that run through all of them. And my themes in my book is family, your culture that you can rely on, and love is apparent in all the books too. What I really am trying to advocate for, because I consider myself an author advocate, is that children can see that they can rely on their cultures, that they can look at their own family structures, that they can look at how we are intergenerational, how we have loving cousins, how we have these traditions that help form our identity, and that we can share them and be our whole selves. Because when I was young, sometimes I would get teased for liking to go to powwows or different things that I was wearing, and that didn't feel good. So I went Native kids, all kids, to know themselves and be able to express themselves wholly.
Mm. Yeah, it makes a difference to be able to go to a bookshelf and find a book and see and read about people who are like yourself. A lot of people don't have that happening right now. But thanks to our guest, Laurel Goodluck, Indigenous kids around the country can reach to their bookshelves and learn more about their own experiences in the world. And non-Indigenous people can learn too. Thank you so much for being with us today on the Children's Hour, Laurel.
Yes, thank you for having me. This is really a treat to be asked questions by young people. Thank you all.
That was the Swamp Singers. That's the Strong Women's Song. In the background, Kenneth Littlehawk. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. And today on the show, we're focusing on Indigenous storytellers. And we call this episode The Story Keepers. That's because we're celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day. In the United States, that holiday falls on the second Monday of the month of October. Indigenous Peoples Day is a holiday in the United States that honors the Native American people who lived here long before others arrived. It exists to recognize the history, culture, and contributions of our Native American nations and the people who live there. Instead of focusing on Christopher Columbus, who was really quite brutal, like we have done in the past, this day helps us remember the importance of the Native communities that were already here and the ones that remain today. People celebrate by learning about Indigenous history, attending events, and joining in traditional music, dancing, and storytelling, like today on the Children's Hour. It's a time to respect and appreciate the First Nations of this country. You're listening to the Children's Hour. This episode is called The Story Keepers. And this is Fuch with Radmila Cody.
One earth, one people, one love. One earth, one people, one love. One earth, one people, one love. One earth, one people, one love.
First off, let's define indigenous, the native people, original inhabitants, living on every single continent. Then somebody shows up and says, I discovered it. How can you discover somewhere already found, or take credit for a place that's already around, like Hernan Cortez or Hernando de Soto, Ponce de Leon or Francisco Pizarro? It all started with Christopher Columbus, Europe's obsession with Western discovering, with big dreams. It's while an Italian was searching for gold in the East Indies Islands. Long ago, 1492, we all know the story, he sailed the ocean blue. But here's what I didn't learn in school. After landing in the Bahamas, he treated people cruel. The Tainos are peaceful people. When Cuba, Haiti, DR, Jamaica, Puerto Rico. Even though they welcomed him with open arms, he committed genocide and unspeakable evil. I wish that's where the story ends, but colonization is a sickness that spreads. Speaking of sickness, literal diseases, smallpox, chickenpox, and the measles. I wonder how history would change if explorers were peaceful when they came, learn native customs, cultural exchange, didn't force religion, and no one was enslaved. Aztecs, Incas might have lived longer from South America to Canadian borders. Cherokee, Sioux, Apache, and Navajo, Iroquois, Chippewa, Choctaw, Pueblo.
Ones from ancestors to those still alive.
Sing.
One earth, one people, one love.
People of the earth.
One earth, one people, one love.
It's time to stand together.
One earth, one people, one love.
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 Time to write these wrongs.
One earth, one people, one love.
Then add a little shaker.
Two-legged and four-legged and winged and finned and rooted in the ground. Two-legged and four-legged and winged and finned and rooted in the ground. All of creation, way high, all of creation, way high, all of creation, way high, way high.
Now let's climb the mountain.
Mountains, lakes, and rivers and trees. Mountains, lakes, and rivers and trees. Mountains, lakes, and rivers and trees. The same as you and me. All of creation, way ahe. All of creation, way ahe. All of creation, way ahe. Way ahe.
That was Martha Redbone right here on the Children's Hour. All of Creation is the name of that tune. She's there with the Bruces and Friends. Today on the Children's Hour, we have been honoring our Indigenous story keepers. And one in particular who is our guest, Laurel Goodluck. We have posted links and photos and lots of other information at our website. Go to childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, The Story Keepers. We have time for just one more on the show today. We're going to go out with Nadine Gagné and the Star Nation Collective. This is their single, All Nations. And happy Indigenous Peoples Day, one and all. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's show was written and produced by me, Katie Stone. We had production help from Gus Tafoya and our senior producer, Christina Stella. Many thanks to Laurel Goodluck for joining us on the program.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.